The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Mirakl. Because traditional commerce is just code for not growing, it's time to do better than the status quo. Join over 450 retailers who are scaling 6 times faster with AI, automation, and a platform built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale. It's time to accelerate with Mirakl. It's June 23rd, 2025, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Saks Global still sounds in trouble. Facebook says e-commerce is great for other people. Andy Jassy's AI memo was a snooze fest, but in a good way for Amazon. And Amazon is extending Prime Day, doesn't give me warm fuzzies. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains 5 items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Saks Global still sounds in trouble. Saks Global getting assurances, which means trouble not over. I've often found that the greatest public assurances often come at a time right before the company is actually in the greatest trouble. After all, if a company was doing just fine, the company wouldn't need to say anything. Its customers and results would do all the talking. In recent analyst reports before and after a BMO Capital meeting, $350 million in funding came in just in time to place Christmas orders? What the heck would the company's Christmas be like without this financing? What were the terms on this financing? What happens if said inventory doesn't sell through like expected? Even in good times, most retailers were only 2 bad quarters of inventory buys away from a bankruptcy. Saks is teetering. Furthermore, executives are expressing confidence in their liquidity. Again, you don't need to express confidence in your liquidity. That's your balance sheet. If you have confidence in your liquidity, your balance sheet is good. Hendrik Lobscher put it one way in his recent newsletter. What would happen to luxury if Saks goes out of business? I might put it another way. What if Saks stays alive and this is as good as it gets? Our second story. Facebook says e-commerce is great, but for other people. In the last few weeks, Facebook did what it inevitably does every few years, gives up on embedded checkout on its own website. Facebook shops and IG shops die in June, which is this month. RIP, and frankly, they were always terrible. But nevertheless, they persisted. In fact, Facebook used to get upset with you when you drove traffic off its site, but no more, I guess? Let's review the pitch. Conversion rates on all websites is just 2% globally, Meta said. And if we convert just a small fraction of keeping people on the site, we're going to be rich. Of course, the skeptics had a different idea. People don't go there to buy, we said. And once you get addicted to advertising revenue, everything else feels like second-class margins, we said. Well, again, we were right and they were wrong. Commerce is a discipline and skill which is extremely difficult to learn for advertising-based platforms. Commerce is ultimately logistics, and it's not easy to communicate trust without a demonstrated ability to deliver. TikTok Shop comes, luckily, from an e-commerce-oriented parent company, ByteDance Douyin. And so their capabilities and investments come more from experience rather than random experimentation. The global LLMs will have similar things to prove when advertising gets into the mix, which Rufus has already started selling ads, so it's beginning. Ultimately, software as a service and subscriptions are a great model now for ChatGPT, but it's still limiting. People enjoy free. And ads always seem to end up running everything. From a business model point of view, and there's more to be written here, but it's hard to bet against. Our third story. Andy Jassy's AI memo was a snooze fest, but in a good way. If you've been watching Amazon for more than 5 minutes, you could have written Andy Jassy's note for him, to be honest. Instead, what we got coming out of it was a lot of hot takes like, Amazon doesn't want employees, or the note was a revolution. Neither of which feels right to me. Here's what I heard out of the note. A lot of Amazon AI press puffery, documenting which is actually already going on, and continuing the trend line in straightforward ways. First things first, All CEO notes are PR. All of them. So there was a lot of that in here. If you've heard Andy blather on about AI during earnings calls during the last 2 years, there wasn't a ton new in this note, to be honest. And to contrast, Jeff Bezos never even attended earnings calls and commissioned the world's worst slide decks to support them, just to reinforce how irrelevant they were in his mind to taking care of customers. His notes about employees I thought were pretty tame. He's been speaking for years about getting teams smaller, and this is just another excuse in my mind to continue on the same crusade. Smaller teams get more done faster than bigger teams. If you've ever been in a large meeting, you understand that each person you add to a meeting decreases its value exponentially. I think that a lot of people miss that he also mentioned that there'd be more people doing other types of jobs. So there is that. Still, while there is broad worry that AI is going to be net negative to the new generation of college grads, I also think that this is based on extremely misguided assumptions. In other words, existing big corporate execs are somehow safe, and these big corporate execs will now cut staff. And of course, AI will do a lot of things that mid and lower tier employees are doing today. Instead, the statement I feel is necessary is more like the next generation employees are actually the only ones who can imagine the workplace of the future, full stop. And venture capital and other long-term investments who aren't thinking about the next quarter earnings will help enable this transition. Our last story. Amazon extending Prime Day does not give me warm fuzzies. Since the first Prime Day in 2015, which you know was actually a Prime Day, single, Amazon slowly added hours to Prime Day so that by 2022, it was 2 days, and then another day in 2023 to 3 days. Now, in 2025, we stand at 4 days. Will it matter? Most consumers think no. In fact, people just expect that everything is always discounted on Amazon now. And can I rant for a minute? Across the internet, everything is so damn promotional right now that this seems to be the way of things. What happened to a brand and service as selling tools? Those are table stakes in this economy, and Amazon is telling us that if the consumer is going to buy, they need proper motivation. If you thought you could really build your brand from scratch on Amazon, think again. Instead, what you're really doing is using it as a catchment for your social and other earned marketing efforts, which does gain you new customers. Of course, not always the highest quality customers, since they're often promotional, but customers nonetheless. And there is that pesky component of owning your brand on Amazon. Imagine you are a brand manufacturer and your product was in every mall in America, but you had no control over how it was presented. That would be a ridiculous idea, right? Well, even the biggest companies like Nike until recently thought that was a good idea. And still, in pockets, you see brands come up with ideas like, our Amazon business is just not important, and so on and so forth. I do feel there is an alternative playbook developing, however. Instead of bidding yourself to the top of Amazon listings indefinitely, just get your product there. Focus more on building your content capabilities on social channels with influencers and capture the sale on both Amazon and your website. You shouldn't care where your customer shops, and we all know there is plenty of reason to shop on Amazon. Namely, returns, refunds, trust, and date-definite, almost guaranteed shipping, which most brands don't even bother to offer on their own websites. At any rate, back to our story, the fourth day is going to be a marginal bump, and Amazon seems to be playing a game of diminishing returns here. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, TechMates Group has joined Zalab. Zalab and TMG have merged to create a leading B2B enterprise transformation consultancy, combining expertise in B2B commerce and digital strategy. The new company is named Zalab. Transaction details were not disclosed. Second, Michaels acquires Joann's intellectual property and private label brands. The Michaels Companies has announced that it's acquired the intellectual property of craft retailer Joann and the Big Twist private label for an undisclosed amount. Michaels did not acquire any Joann locations and has not disclosed whether it will use the Joann logo and trademarks. Third, freight data automation platform Cargo raises $18.4 million. Industrial artificial intelligence and computer vision platform Cargo.ai announced that it had raised $18.4 million, which will be invested in product development and marketing. Cargo utilizes hardware to scan data found within warehouses, automating freight data capture and verification. Fourth, L'Oreal Group announced that it's acquired a majority stake in Medi-Kate, a premium science-backed skincare brand, for a reported $1.1 billion. A European private equity fund, Inflection, will retain a minority stake. L'Oreal strengthens its luxe portfolio with a brand that has global growth potential. And finally, German car parts retailer Autodoc plans German IPO. German online car parts retailer Autodoc plans to list on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange through a secondary share offering. The company founders and Apollo Global Management are selling secondary shares, which will not generate new equity capital. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for a lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host Jess Lasesky, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.